Ubhunaktu sahavir yankaravavahai tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishavahai. Om shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nihara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay.
Okay, so we left off. We just read the first paragraph of the preliminary procedures. So
Okay, please, yes.
read that again. So at the beginning of the vivaha, wedding ceremony, or any other sangskar, one should recite Mangalacharna, then make a platform, vedi, which should be 4 hasta long, approximately 6 feet, on both sides, and 4 mushti high, approximately 1 foot, with a canopy over it. As stated in Kapila Pancharatra, quote, one should build an auspicious platform on the best purified ground. It should be 4 hands square and 4 fists high, and should be made with pure mud and smeared with cow dung mixed with pure water, without any husk, bones, hairs, coal, or burned clay in it, etc. The
Yeah,
mandap.
so in other words, here just on that. So
Yes.
that means is that you're getting cow dung. One, you're getting mud from a clean place. You're not just taking it from anywhere where you throw stuff. And also the cow dung can't be the cow dung necessarily after you clean the goshala, and then so many things may end up there because it's a pile, people throw things there. You know, so it has to be collected, immediately after before you've cleaned the goshala. So the idea is you should be conscious. It's not just any old dirt. It's not, oh, we got dirt. No, it should be nice, clean dirt. You know, something that one's made the endeavor to see that it's pure. Please.
The mandap should be covered with a torana, canopy, or a rope that is decorated with many kinds of leaves like mango, bakul, jambu, etc.
Right. So in other words, you can have the four posts and the corners, and on the four posts you can hang a canopy that covers the whole thing. And generally canopies have a little frill on them, right? So it come up and then have the frill coming down. So it'll look very nice. And if you can't do that, then it mentions then you take a rope or a string, and then you have all these auspicious nice decorative leaves connected to it. And so that'll be around the top at the top of those poles. You know, that little bit, and that will create that nice environment. In other words, you've created some airspace that belongs to, auspicious airspace that belongs to that mandapa. You know, you can also do both. You can put the canopy and put that, underneath so it looks nice. Matches together also. Yes, please. Charvaji, we lost you, or
I'm here. My internet's cutting in and out, so sometimes you slow down and then speed up real quick. So there might be a delay, but hopefully, at least when I read, hopefully the
oh, okay.
will keep up.
Yeah, so far we've heard it's been very good.
Then 8 auspicious pots should be installed in the 8 directions, and many kinds of flags should be placed on top of them, starting from the east. The pots should be decorated with 5 colors. Then the platform should be decorated with chandratapa, a sign of half moon, and garlands. Ladies should decorate the platform and doors with 5 kinds of colors. The auspicious Mangalacharna should be recited in that place, accompanied by the beating of drums, blowing of conch shells, ringing of bells, etc., and Mukhya Vaidya, ululation of the women, end quote.
Yeah, so here's that. Then you have doors. So this is the mandap. So depending upon how big in the program you're having and all that, then there should be enough space there. And so then you're going to have doors, which means you're going to have some small kind of walls around. And then at the cardinal directions, you'll have some opening like that. Or you can also just build something that's there, just a gate at each of those, and somehow or another do decorations around. So in some way, it's just creates a very auspicious environment there. And then you see is that bells are being rung, conch shells, the ladies are doing that ululation, and you know, mrdangas, kardaso, the kirtan's going on. All these wonderful things are going on. So it creates a very, very pleasant atmosphere. Please.
Okay, then one should recite the following Mangalacharana prayers to remove all obstacles and invoke auspiciousness. Young Brahma Vedanta Vido Vadanta.
Yeah, just
okay. Just the translations?
Yeah, because otherwise I think there's a lot of them there.
Yeah, I was just going to do the shorter ones. Like, I wasn't going to do the whole prushikshukta. Okay, but yeah.
Then in that case, then go ahead. You know, whatever.
Whatever you
think is going to come out best.
Yeah, we'll just do the English then. Okay, obeisances unto him who is the destroyer of all obstacles, who the knowers of Vedanta describe as the supreme Brahman, and who others describe as the pradhan or totality of mundane elements. Some describe him as the supreme male person or Purusha, while others describe him as the supreme Lord and the cause of the creation of the universe, Brihad Vishnu Purana. Then, just as those with ordinary vision see the sun's rays in the sky, so the wise and learned devotees always see the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. Because those highly praiseworthy and spiritually awake brahmanas can see that abode, they can also reveal it to others. That's from the Samaveda.
Oh, that's Samaveda. That's the one we always use. That
Vishnu Paramam Padam. Yeah.
That yeah. One. Yeah, I didn't realize that's some of it.
And then the next is from Krishnopanishad. Lord Krishna is the color of a new rain cloud. Therefore, he is compared to a transcendental cloud full of eternity, bliss, and cognizance. He is the original and supreme person. He is the origin of all activities and the one and only Lord of all. He is the worshipful Lord of the best of the demigods, the controller of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Krishna is without any beginning. Whatever auspiciousness is found within or beyond this universe, the devotee obtains in Krishna alone. And then...
Wow. It's interesting because the first verse, Finnish, is saying that some know him as, you know, the Brahman, some as basically the ingredients in the material creation, you know, that they only see up to that much, like the Shaktas or up to the Brahman level. Then some see him as the Supreme Lord, you know, like that. And then there's those who understand him as Bhagavan. And then here, then you're saying the devotees, they can reveal that place, you know, where the Lord is. And then here, now you're describing the Lord. Okay,
I think this is from Rig Veda. This is Krishna Vai
Sachidananda. Vishnu. Oh, the Krishna Vai, that might be Rig Veda.
Yeah, Krishna Upanishad is from Rig Veda.
Oh, okay. Krishna Upanishad is part of Rig Veda. Okay, so then that should be noted. That should say Krishna Upanishad, Rig Veda, so that they catch that. But the Om Tad Vishnu, Padamam Padam, that's from Samaveda. That's pretty far out. That means there must be a saman to that one. Okay.
Okay, and then...
Yes, please continue.
So, first of Purushashukta. The Supreme Lord, in the form of the universe, has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes, and 1,000 feet, for he contains all the living entities. Having pervaded the universe completely to give it existence, being independent, he extended himself beyond it by 10 fingers. Did we actually cover this recently? Was it in the introduction, maybe?
Oh, we didn't. No, we didn't. We did it before we started this. We just did a study of Purusha Shukta.
Oh, okay. Shall we do it again?
Yeah, no, I'm just because we won't be speaking on it. We'll just.
Right.
I will read it because it's something very nice.
Yeah, I knew it was familiar, but I didn't know when we did it. Yeah, that's right. We did it before. Okay. So then, Number two. The universes, past, present, and future, are but manifestations of the Supreme Lord who expands himself as the Purusha. He is the Lord of immortality, but has manifest himself as the Purusha in the universe so that the jivas may enjoy material fruits. Then number three, the past, present, and future universes are manifestations of the Lord's powers, but the Lord himself is much greater. The material creation is but one quarter portion, and the eternal nature in the spiritual sky exists in three quarters portion. Four, the three quarters portion of the Lord transcended the material portion. The Lord in the one quarter portion manifested the universe again, as he had done repeatedly before. The Lord of the one quarter portion began the work of creation by going all around, taking the form of all animate and inanimate objects. Five, from that Lord, the Virat or universe was born. And in that, the Virat Purusha Paramatma of the universe was born. Having appeared, the Virat Purusha grew and produced the earth and the bodies of the jivas. Six, the devas, being the first beings manifested, performed a mental sacrifice to complete the creation using the Virat Purusha, the totality of ingredients of the material world, as the offering. Spring was the ghee, summer was the fuel, wood, and autumn was the offering. Seven, in this sacrifice, the kusha grass blades strewn around the fire for protection from the rakshasas were seven, the seven Vedic poetic meters, and the fuel sticks were 21, 12 months, 6 seasons, and the 3 worlds. The devas, who were performing the mental sacrifice, tied the Virat Purusha to offer him into the fire, just as one would tie the sacrificial animal. Actually, I had a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
The seven blades of kusha grass. So I noticed when we were doing the course here that our kusha grass, it might not be as long as the others, so it takes more than seven to surround the fire pit. Should there be seven? Or
also depends on the size of your fire. The main thing is that I would say is that you're going to cover the fire around, like seven would be a standard. So maybe if they're making smaller kundas like this, then you would end up with seven, you know?
Okay.
Like that. But use more. Because we generally make quite big kundas.
Right. Eight. The devas, sadhyas, and rishis.
Okay. That's interesting because I thought that the question that came up before when one of our Sanskrit scholars in the movement, because you know who specialized in classical Sanskrit, when he got into this Vedic, when he translated this, when he came to that, they tied up the Lord like the sacrificial animal. He freaked out. They were just saying, "No, this is not. How can this be? This means otherwise. How does anything work? And it's a mental sacrifice." And we see he ties them and all that, sprinkles them with water. And then by doing that, then everything happens. So you don't actually, you know, they don't even have the yajna. They don't even have all the things. All they do is the mental part where they do and chant the mantras and the meditation on the Lord. And then everything expands from the Lord. So, you know, it's a more subtle program here. And there is only the Lord. There isn't something else. So what are they going to use?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, please. It's interesting how we do that when we're reading Shastra, and then we read something that seems not to go along with, you know, what we know from either Pratyaksha or mundane Anuman, and we sort of try to explain it according to, instead of, you know, accepting it as it is from Shastra, we sort of try to explain it according to our own experiences or man's law.
Yes. Unfortunate. Yeah, because of this inductive way of thinking, then what comes up is that we are going to try to fit everything into this inductive. So basically what I've seen, what I've heard, and what logically makes sense to me, starting from my position, applying the logic, it should, from my position, applying the logic, get to what I'm talking about. And on the mundane platform, you might be able to do that to some degree. But if you're dealing on the spiritual platform and you're dealing with all these transcendental elements that are there, then it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And so, therefore, the people that are, the more proud they are of their own intelligence, then they'll say that there's something wrong here and this is not correct, when it's actually, no, your mentality is not correct. So many times what we would see is that, you know, even in our own studies, that a definition is made, and we're using that definition through sometimes a few cantos. Mm-hmm. And it works very well, and we understand what's going on and all the different things and the creation and this and that. But then as we go, then one of the acharyas gives a further detail of that definition from a different angle. And so then immediately, how does this make sense and all that? But then if you analyze and you see, then it brings out more to what's going on. Because in other words, we see one feature of all that's going on, and then this brings out another feature. So as you go, you can understand more and more features. And then once you catch that feature and you see, okay, then it's this, and you think it's something more technical, and there was the basic, Prabhupada said the basic before and this and that. Then when you see the purports to those verses, that the acharyas have made this further description of, then you'll see in those purports, Prabhupada's already talking about what they've mentioned, but we didn't see it. So his language is such that the simplest forms will work. But as you go, then as you mature, then you can understand more and more depth of what's there, and then you can see how all that works. So it's very, very nice how it can unfold in this way. So that's the thing, is we have to be open that there are more features than necessarily what we know. So what we know may work up to a particular point, but then if you want to go farther, you have to be able to expand how much you know.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So the perspective has to develop, has to grow. It's not speculative. That's the thing. It's coming from the Shastra. Through the Shastra, then it goes. It's not that we apply our speculation is the essential point there. No, it's that the depth of what the philosophy is saying, and then we can analyze it. So that's the thing, is deductive knowledge can be analyzed and presented logically, but you can't through logic come to that deductive knowledge, to that conclusion. Because deductive means it's starting from conclusion, then coming down to, a more general application, then down to a detail. Well, we're starting with a detail and trying to find a conclusion, but we'll generally always, we start in detail, we'll keep it in detail. Or if we're more intellectual, we'll start in detail and we'll get to some general kind of, application. But then generally you'll see is that general theory, then that general application, we can't apply it, or we have no way how to apply it. So that's how you get... You have people that are practical and it just, makes sense or doesn't. This is the way it works. And so that's what they do and they're successful. Then you have those who are intellectual and they think, oh, it should be like this and that, like so many of these social constructs and everything like that. It should be this, it should be that. But they have that theory, but there's no practical application of what they're talking about. It just doesn't work. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they can't understand that. But the point is that's because they've used an inductive way and they're trying to keep their detail that they know and get this broader thing that fits everybody, but it's still only based on the little detail they know. So I have one perspective. I make this universal perspective, so-called universal perspective, based on my perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I will be thinking it's universal. And when it doesn't work, I will say all the other people aren't understanding and aren't applying. But if they applied it exactly how I'm applying it to myself, which makes it not universal, it makes it purely subjective, then it may work. But then don't present it as a universal principle. So universal can only come as from descending. The descending comes down. That's a universal principle. That universal principle then can be given into broader, you know, categories and into details. And the more you understand the principle and then how those broad categories connect with it and how those different things, then the details can fit, because the detail will connect back to the category. And those categories have to connect back to that principle. And so then you can make things work. So you'll see is the details will be different in different areas. But we want to say, I have a universal principle that applies to everybody, that everyone will get the same detail. But no, because that's what science is, right? You have a white rat or stuff like that. Anybody, anywhere, in any situation should be able to do the same experiment and get exactly the same result. And then they'll say, this is science. But we see is that the principles of creation are there in everything, but the detail of it is very different. And that's accepted, you know, in a general thing, but we'll make all those categories and everything like that and point out this and this, but the principles are the same, but we miss that. Then we just analyze, we see that it has the general things, like you take all the animals, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So then we'll say, yes, it's all eating, sleeping, mating, but they never bring that out, really. They just work in those categories. And they see they're different. This one eats like this. This one sleeps in the day. This one sleeps at night. This one in a hole. This one up in the top of the tree. You know, this one standing up. This one laying down. You know, so they'll get into those things, but they don't necessarily see the categories so strongly. They create their own categories. And then the detail is there, but then, you know, the difference in the detail is what makes it interesting. But then the principle of it, you know, that just material existence and is based on these four aspects of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that they generally don't get into. You bring it up, then they'll have to say, yeah, okay, it makes sense. But that's generally not what they look at, because they just, detail is important to them, and intellect to them means more detail, more detail of the detail, or more variety of details. But the idea that there's a conclusion, it doesn't exist in the modern academy. That they're afraid of these things, because then there is standards, and then they can't just speculate and do anything, because they want the freedom to just do anything. Well, so basically everyone wants freedom, but the ones who are practical know freedom, you have freedom within the constraints of the environment that you're working within. And that, but the intellectuals, they want freedom means I can do anything with my intellect, and that's all right. But then they have the audacity to say that must translate into practical application, which it doesn't, because you see, it's very, very rare that the intellectual person coming up with any theory is able to practically apply it. You know, that's why Da Vinci was considered very unique. He understood the theory, and he could make the practical application of it. You know, like that, or let's say in electricity, Tesla, he could come up with the theories, he could do the practical application. And even to this day, his stuff in electricity and so many things that Da Vinci talked about, you know, aren't even happening. So it's you're dealing with two schools of thought, and they that means that the Vedic can be presented logically so that one that is accustomed to an inductive way of thinking, if he's a little bit broad-minded, can appreciate you know all these things, you know, if they're actually looking for answers. But if they're stuck on their false ego and think, no, it's just because I have a brain, therefore I know everything, then they can't understand it. But the inductive cannot include the deductive. There's no category of that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not within their philosophy. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
so number 8. The Devas, Sadhyas, and Rishis placed the Virat Purusha, the first being of the universe, on Kusha and sprinkled him with water for purification.
In it's interesting, way, when you go through, when you apply this Purusha Shukta to the 16 items of worship, you know, like when you're worshiping Shaligram, you're supposed to chant one Purusha Shukta verse, and then you do Asanam, one next one, you do Swagatam, next one, Padyam, next one, Argyam, like this. This one where they put him on the Kusamat and sprinkle him with water, that's non in the 16 items. It comes out and it falls in that place.
Nice.
Yes, so please.
It's funny, I thought you were going to say something about the seemingly irony there, that the Lord who is always pure, we're sprinkling water on him for purification.
Yeah, well, because the thing is rituals means you do that. He's pure, yeah. But then that's the whole point. Since he's pure, he likes doing pure things.
Yeah.
You like, if you're happy, you like doing happy things. If you're grumpy, you like doing grumpy things. So he's pure, he does pure things. He is rasa, so he likes to interact with devotees based on the rasa. You know, he knows everything. He has knowledge. And so therefore, you know, using knowledge in application of action, then is there. He's the creator of everything. So therefore then, you know, the interactions go on based on that. So he's Satchidananda. So therefore, all actions go on. I mean, in the Sat platform, you have the existence of everything. Then Sat and Chit platform of Chit, you know, because Chit, you're Sat and Chit, then you have the, you know, how creation and activities and those kind of things. And then Ananda, then that's based on the rasa. And then that includes Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So in Sat, in that situation, Chit, with that knowledge and that action for what results you can get to please Krishna, then Ananda, then you please Krishna, and Krishna, then everybody is pleased. So so all these features can be nicely brought out.
In this way, they conducted the mental sacrifice using the Virat Purusha. 9. From that sacrifice, where everything in the universe was sacrificed, yogurt and ghee, all nourishing foods, were produced. It created the animals of the air, forest, and village. 10. From that ultimate sacrifice, or sarvahut, the rig, hymns, sama, musical, and yajur, prose, portions of the Vedas and the 7 Vedic meters were born. 11. From the sacrifice were born horses and animals with 2 sets of teeth, such as donkeys and mules. From the sacrifice, cows were born, and likewise goats and sheep. 12. In the mental sacrifice, when they divided up the Virat Purusha, how many parts did they divide? What is stated about his face, his arms, his thighs, and feet? 13. From the face came the Brahmanas. From the 2 arms, the Kshatriyas came into being. From the thighs of the Virat Purusha came the Vaishyas. And from his feet, the Shudras were born. 14. The moon was born from his mind. The sun was born from his 2 eyes. From his mouth were born Indra and Agni. And from his breath, Vayu was born. 15. From his navel came Antariksha, space between earth and heaven. From his head, the heavens arose. From his feet, the earth arose. And from his ears arose the directions. In this way, the worlds were created. 16. I know that great Virat Purusha, effulgent as the sun, who stands beyond the darkness of the material creation. Having given all the living entities their forms and names, he directs their affairs. 17. Brahma explained his realization to Indra. Indra, who knows all the living entities in all 4 directions, explained it to all others. One who knows the nature of the Virat Purusha becomes immortal even in his life on earth. There is no other path to reach the goal of immortality. And number 18. In this way, the devas conducted the mental sacrifice using the Virat Purusha to manifest variety in the world. By that sacrifice, both the physical laws of nature and the first spiritual codes of conduct arose. The great souls, by similar mental worship, attain the place of immortality where the sadhyas and devas, the first worshippers, now dwell. End quote.
Yeah. So also here's that point about all the laws of nature. So the laws of nature, that's what's defining how religion and things don't work. And that's as a secondary, as a support to the primary, which are the spiritual codes, the conduct, that you're doing everything in connection with Krishna and all that. You know, or you can look at it as that, you know, the one is the, you know, dealing with the varna ashram, the other is dealing with the ashram aspect, you know, because one's social, one's spiritual. So the first spiritual codes of conduct, because then the Veda has the first spiritual codes of conduct, then the great sages studying that, then in their discussions with each other, discussing the conclusions of these spiritual codes of conduct, then you get this, the Smriti, you know, and the Agamas and these kind of things that come from the Veda. And then you see is then we get the definitions that we can use very nicely. But they're based back on the Veda. So everything has to go back to the Veda. Yes, please.
Okay, then we have the Narayan Upanishad. And so the first is, then the Supreme Lord Narayan desired to create living entities. From Narayan came the life heirs. From Narayan came the mind and all the senses. From Narayan came the elements, ether, air, light, water, and earth, which supports the universe. From Narayan came Brahma, Rudra, Indra, Prajapati. From Narayan came the 12 Adityas, the 12 Rudras, the 12 Vasus, and the Vedic meters, and all the Devas. Everything came from Narayan in the beginning, and everything enters into Narayan at the end. 2. Thus, Narayan is the eternal being. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, time and directions, the subdirections, up and down, inside and outside, are all pervaded by Narayan. Narayan is everything, past, present, and future. Narayan is the eternal, pure, effulgent Lord, without a second to compare. He is Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, says the Upanishad. 3. One should place Om first, Nama second, and Narayanaya at the end. Om is one syllable, Nama is two syllables, and Narayanaya is five syllables. Together, they make the eight-syllable Narayan mantra. One who knows this eight-syllable Narayan mantra with purity in his heart attains all life, all offspring, wealth, health, and cows, and finally attains immortality. One who knows the Narayan mantra and Narayan attains immortality, says the Upanishad.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Is this Narayan Upanishad referring to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? I mean,
I would think it's referring to the Purusha avatars themselves. It'd be like Purusha Shukta, you know, that they're dealing with the three Purushas, but you're dealing with this aspect, but then it's getting into more detail on how everything, you know, because you may catch from Purusha Shukta, because that's giving the principles, but then you may catch, okay, well, that's some general things, you know, but then you have the details. The Narayan Upanishad gets right into the details. Then also the, you know, chanting of the mantra and that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so 4. The syllable Om is directly the Supreme Lord full of bliss. Composed of three sounds, A, U, and Ng, the pranava becomes Om. The yogi who utters the pranava many times becomes free from the bondage of repeated material birth. One who worships the Lord with this mantra will certainly go to the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha, which is a lotus full of consciousness shining effulgently. The transcendental Lord is known as the son of Devaki. As Madhusudana, as Pundarikaksha, as Vishnu and Achyuta, the one Narayan is situated in all living entities. He is the cause of all causes, the supreme Brahman. 5. One who recites the mantra in the morning destroys the sins of the night. One who recites the mantra in the evening destroys the sins of the day. One who recites the mantra at noontime facing the sun is free from all types of sins. That person attains the fruits of studying all the Vedas. He attains the world of Narayan.
Yeah, so you see is that the chanting is the most important element. So it's already there in the Vedas, just whether people catch that, but it's the chanting of the holy name that's actually the most powerful of all, because that chanting of the holy name is then used in meditation, it's used in deity worship, it's used in yajnas. And it on its own, then it becomes the, you know, the whole Sankirtan movement. So we see is that here Narayan Upanishad's mentioning that, Manu mentions that the Brahman, just by chanting the Brahma Gita, then he attains the all benefits in that. So everything, all sadhana is within the chanting of the holy name. So when Acharyas give that, that it's the perfection of all yajna, of all tapasa, it's all this, all that, and everything. That's the way it is. It's not just we just say that. We see is that it's explained by these Vedic literatures itself. Yes, please.
Okay, then from Krishna Upanishad again, this will be the Om Swasti No Govinda Swasti No Chutai. May Lord Govinda, Achyuta, Anantashesh, Vasudev, and Lord Vishnu bestow auspiciousness upon us. May Nara Narayan, Padmanabha, and Purushottama bestow auspiciousness upon us. May Vishvakshena, the Lord of the Universe, Hrishikesh, and Lord Hari bestow auspiciousness upon us. May Garuda, the son of Anjana, who is the great devotee of Lord Rama, Hanuman, bestow auspiciousness upon us. May the great and only Lord of auspiciousness, Sri Krishna, who is like a transcendental cloud full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and who is the Lord of all the demigods, bestow upon us all prosperity and auspiciousness. Then, let's see, this is from San Mohan Tantra. May Krishna, the Lord of all lords of the universe, and his followers, the deliverers of the fallen, bestow auspiciousness on me. Next is from Vishnu Yamala Sanghita. May Krishna, the destroyer of all obstacles, and his followers, bestow auspiciousness and prosperity to me at all times and places. Next is from Vishnu Rahasya. May Krishna, who has a complexion like the Atasi flower, who is situated under the Kadamba tree on the bank of the Yamuna River, who is skillful at pastimes with the wives of the cowherds of Vrindavan, bestow auspiciousness on us. Next is from Naradiya Purana. May Krishna, who sports with great noise in the waves of the Yamuna River, and who, like a lion, killed the elephant Kamsa, bestow auspiciousness on me. Next is from Narasimha Purana. The devotees always remember the Lord. The name Madhava is constantly on their tongues and constantly in their minds and permeates all of their activities. Next one is from Pandava Gita. For those who have Janardana, whose complexion is that of a blue lotus within their hearts, there is all gain and victory and no defeat in any enterprise. Then from Brihad Vishnu Purana, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is all auspicious. Madhusudana is all auspicious. Hrishikesh is all auspicious. Hari is the abode of all auspiciousness. Simply by saying the name of Vishnu or by remembering Krishna, all obstacles are destroyed and all auspiciousness comes. This is certain. Next is from Padma Purana. O Brahmana, chanting of the holy name is the auspicious process in Kali Yuga. It is the highest auspiciousness for mankind. There is no other way. Then from Vishnu Dharmottara, he who remembers all the forms of the Lord, such as Pundarikaksha, Govinda, and Madhava, will attain all auspiciousness and destruction of all obstacles in all his activities. And the last one from the Rudra Yamala. The intelligent man who first remembers the various forms of the Lord and his pastimes before performing his activities will attain infinite auspiciousness in all that he does.
Yes, so you see this here. Because we've already established how Krishna is everything. Everything's come from him. So remembering him, then you have the most, you know, wonderful situation. So it's not that by worshiping Krishna, we're getting material auspiciousness, material prosperity, material progress. No, it's by worshiping Krishna, then you get spiritual, progress and auspiciousness, because that's the only thing actually auspicious for the living entities. That's why I mentioned in the beginning that someone's going to think that, you know, the Lord means is the totality of the material energy, or he is the Brahman, or he is the, you know, controller of all this, or he's the, you know, Supreme Lord himself. So depending upon one's level of realization, then you're going to interpret what is progress according to this. Because some of progress means I'll get material benefit and very, you know, nice situation, or I will have a very nice situation, I'll attain Brahman, or he's a controller of everything, so everything will go nicely for me, you know, but, you know, you see the connection with the Lord, you know, so it's purifying. Or it's about how you, auspiciousness means seeing everything connected to Krishna and doing everything connected to Krishna and pleasing that person. That then makes the real auspicious environment. Yes? No? How are we doing on time? Okay, we still have some time. Okay.
So the next is Adhivas.
Aha.
Pleasing the Lord with auspicious offerings. So first we have a list of 27 items that are needed. Number one, earth from Ganga. Two, Gandha, sandalwood paste. Three, stone. Four, rice paddy. Five, durva grass. Six, flowers. Seven, fruits. Eight.
Yeah, so that rice paddy means that it's, you know, rice in the husk, and that you would clean it. It's not that you just get some. You means you know, just like you would do for anything you're going to cook or anything you're going to clean. So you're going to take out any rocks, any empty husks, any other dirt like that, and clean it very nicely. You don't wash it with water. You just do it dry, and so that it's there. You know, so you're going to see that all these are best. That Durva, you're not just going to pull out a big long thing. You're going to take that top part that has all the nice green leaves and everything, not just it's just a stem. You know, so all these items you're going to, you know, get very nice as best as you can, as clean as you can, the best looking as you can, you know, in the best shape that is possible. Yes, please. Yes.
Can you first give the summary of all these sections? Like, I think after Adivas, then we start with the Kushandika, other things, and the whole process of the Yajna, Kushandika Homa, and then Udicha Karma. Can I just give the overall perspective of this?
Well, it means you're going to have that you're going to have, you know, just like in the, when, remember when Brahma had heard all the Vedas and all that, but then when they were stolen by Madhu and Kaitava, then he wanted to hear the Veda again. But now, having, you know, heard before, he wanted to hear, you know, what's the essence first, just in case he doesn't make it through the full study. You know, somehow or another, before he didn't think about that, and he made it through the whole study, and he was fine. But he's thinking now is that, you know, life's temporary. You know, so if you can explain it, so in 5 nights, and the Lord explained it. So that's the Pancharatra. And so then in that, then you have these different stages where you're going to have the, you know, yourself preparing yourself and that, and the like that. Then you're going to prepare the items. Then you're going to do the preliminaries of worship. Then you're going to do the main worship. Then you're doing the concluding activities of worship. And so those 5 principles are there. So we see here, even in the, because that's the Vedic principle. So it's brought out as the Pancharatra and all in connection with Krishna, you know, as worship of the deity. And so it's very, very clear. That's the nice thing about it. But we see here from the Vedic that it's the same principle. You know, you're creating the auspicious, means the auspicious atmosphere is there and everything. And all that, so that you are in, you know, the proper state and all that. Then you're creating the paraphernalia, getting all the paraphernalia together that's required for doing all these different things. Then you're going to do the preliminary activities that are there, you know, to, you know, invoke auspiciousness, take the blessings of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. And then we'll get to Kushandika, you know, which will be the preliminaries of the yajna itself, or the, you know, in this case, then you'll have the main yajna, what'll be there, you know. So here it's whatever it is in the samskars. So, you know, on a worship of the deity, it'll be the Nitya Homa. But otherwise in this, the main example will be given of the wedding, you know, or it can be any of the other samskars. And then the Udicca Karma, then the final activity will be then where you're worshiping all the Lord's paraphernalia, all his associates, and all those different aspects like that. And then with that, then the kirtan and distributing the nirmalya from the sacrifice, you know, the dot and everything else and all these different things. So you can see it has all the elements of puja, just as put together in this form centered around a fire sacrifice, you know, which then the fire then is, you know, it means is, you know, representing that, you know, the offerings and that will be carried to the Lord. So it's you're dealing with the Lord, but it has that little bit of indirectness. While the deity worship, the Pancharatra, then you're directly dealing with the deity, and that's brought out much more. So we see is that the Vedic then will assist in the Pancharatra, and the Pancharatra assists in the Bhagavad. So the Pancharatra is directly transcendental. You know, it's also Paravidya like the Bhagavad, but the Vedic will be secondary in that it will be religious, that it will help support that. So you'll see if you check any of these subjects that, you know, like we studied before, the drama and all these things, and you're going to have the same thing. You're going to be, you know, what it takes to prepare the place, build the place like that. You know, what are the ingredients necessary and all the parts, you know, you have to have the play, you have to have the actors, you have to have the costumes, you have to have all the things, you have the audience, then you're going to do the preliminary activities, the Mangalacharan and all that to get the auspiciousness. Then there'll be the main body, what's there. And then at the end, there'll always be a conclusion, something be wrapped up and all that, bring, you know, the consciousness, everything up to a perfect point. You know, like the end we saw in the Vidagdha Madhava, then having that Radharani was able to be with Krishna, you know, after going through all this, you know, the different things that are there, because Rukmini had, you know, by the arrangement of her father that, you know, he would only marry her. And then, you know, going through all these other things that these other stable or Radharani is accepted by Rukmini to also be wife of Krishna, and then having attained that position where they come together, then we see at the end, and Radharani makes that point, is that, you know, this is, you know, a very nice pastime, but still Vrindavan is much nicer. So now that we're all here together, why don't we all go back to Vrindavan? you know, so then, you know, you have that conclusion and those words of benediction and everything like that. So anybody who, you know, thinks and remembers all this, then they're going to get attained to that topmost platform of prema. And so we see everything is complete. It's all working on the same thing, but because of the medium, it will have some uniqueness and how, you know, what's done where, you know, things are overlapping and stuff like that. But the point is you're still working within these same categories. And so that's the principle. It's all come from Krishna. And so therefore then it's all going to be connected with Krishna and be able to bring out, if you see it in that context, then it will be able to bring you up to that transcendental platform and help you in understanding. So here the yajna is doing exactly the same thing. You know, it'll be a bit more direct because you see it's more mainstream than some of the other aspects. You know, it'll be connected more with the Veda. And that, well, you see, Dharma Shastra, you know, will become more connected with the, and Purana will be more connected with the a practical application of the lifestyle of those who are following the Vedic culture. But you see, all the 14 books then are based on the principles of the Paravidya. And that Paravidya is simply revealing the, you know, the aspects of Krishna and his three features, Satchitananda, Sambandha, Videya, and Prayojana, and how the living entity and the, you know, gets out of the material energy and comes to the spiritual energy. So you're going to see that it's always going to be that aspect of the vibhava of external, internal, external, and marginal of prabhava of the Icha Kriya Jnana and of anubhava of samvit samdini sampladini. So in this way, then you see the features of the Satchitananda manifest as Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, the Svastu Triya become complete. So then the situation is established through the vibhav, the activities through the prabhav, and then the experience through the anubhav. And then each one of these has those three features of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana within it, but in their category. So therefore, the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana of the Vibhava means you're going to have, you know, the external aspect, the internal potency, which is actually the Prayojana. You know, the material world may be the situation we're in, but the Jiva themselves, you know, as they are, as the transcendental nature, then engages in the knowledge and activities that can elevate one to the situation. In other words, you're in the situation of the material, but our situation is actually connected to the spiritual. So then through that project process of application, then we can come to that situation where we are situated in the spiritual platform. Then when we're in that spiritual platform, then with that knowledge of that spiritual platform, then we can, and then apply it, you know, as the Sambandha, then we as the living entities can take part in activities that therefore give, you know, fulfill Krishna's desire, right? So then that will be the Kriya, and then the desire will be the Icha. So now with those two in place, right, because then you have Sat, Sat, Chit, then you have the Ananda, then within the, you know, within the Holy Dham, within the wonderful environment and all that, then, you know, the Sandini, then, and all the devotees and everything together, what's there, then the pastimes are performed, you know, in that Kriya aspect, or the means in the Sambit feature, and then the taste that's there. So the taste of the situation, the taste of, and everybody together, the taste of performing those activities, and then the taste of the Haladini of Krishna's pleasure and that. So we see is that matrix, you know, that, you know, 3x3, that 9, then that works very nicely. And so then, you know, so this is how we're trying to all these different activities, whatever there is explained in the Vedas, then they all will fit. They all, you know, fit within this because it's all Krishna. And so therefore he being Satchitananda, everything expands, will have those features of Satchitananda. There isn't something else. There is only Krishna, and there is only how he manifests, because it's his desire ultimately. So whether it's, you know, on that place of rasa, or whether it's on that platform of just opulence and all that, or on the platform of the realms, still it still falls within Satchitananda, within Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. It's just what your level is. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so then, like that, it becomes a very... From that, you can view, and then you can see, you know, the various aspects. And so they're all going to be doing that. They'll have the uniqueness of the particular subject matter. That's why they have their own vocabulary and, own categories and own details. But if you analyze them, you'll see the categories and details and vocabulary still is reflecting that the original, you know, knowledge and that's there in Krishna and his activities with the devotees. And that platform of rasa, and tattva. So it's not going to be separate from that. It just brings out the variety, brings out the tastes that are there. So you have the variety that's there in the pastime by adjusting which the 14 books is being prominent like that, or combination of that, you know, which aspect is being brought out, where it's more on the, like Krishna and Balarama walking in the forest of Vrindavan. So they're working more on that sat, the existence is there and all that. But, you know, how the sandini potency is manifested so nicely is the dham, like that. Or other times when Krishna's talking about, like, the gopis, how, you know, your service and your surrender and like that, I can't repay you and all that. And then he's, you know, other times then talking about the taste and that, and that they're tasting from this, like that. You know, so that's on that platform. And you can see it down on the other two layers of that matrix. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Was the Vidyapeet happy with that, or that wasn't exactly
yes,
what you were expecting? Okay. Yeah, no, it's nice, because that way you can fit all those three features together that Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out. You know, so it's all within the category of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. And so, and they all connect together. And so even if you take them going up, you know, you take the material energy, then it has its knowledge, and then it has the situations that it produces and the experiences you get from the situation. Then you have the jivas, you know, the jivas, then they themselves, then, you know, how they fit into it and how their assistance to the whole thing, and how then they can assist the devotees in the pastimes, and then the spiritual energy, how that's the actual basis, because that is then what is fulfilling Krishna's desire and then his experience. So you can look at it, you know, besides going across, and you can also go up in the, like that, or down, you know, also the diagonals also work. You know, you're going to have the material energy, then you have your activity, and then you're going to get your experience. You know, so like that. So from that, you have to be able to take it and bring it to that thing of engaging in Krishna's service on the spiritual platform. Then you can please Krishna. Like that, you know. So that makes sense. Or you have the spiritual, the arrangements of the Lord, those beings, you know, the mechanics of how they do. And then you're going to get, you know, that will maintain it on the spiritual platform. So any way you use it, it works. Okay. Looks like time is up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.